There's some positive news on the possibility of 100 million doses of a COVID-19 vaccine being available by the end of the year. Dr. Anthony Fauci made the announcement yesterday, but he also said a vaccine may not provide long-term immunity. So until a vaccine is ready, health experts will use contact tracing to try to stop the spread of the virus. But there are fears the technique may not work as well in the U.S. as in other parts of the country, in other countries. For more, let's bring in Drew Joseph with our partners at STAT, the health and medicine publication. Drew, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much.
Other countries like South Korea were really able to successfully cut the number of new cases through contact tracing. What's different here in the U.S.?
Yeah, so there are a couple things. First of all, contact tracing is part of a broader surveillance network, and that includes widespread testing as well. And experts have raised two concerns about how successful it might be. One is that although we're down, there are still some 20,000 cases reported every day in the country. And that's just a lot of cases to try to interview and see where those people have been and who they've been in touch with. So contact tracing really works when there's a manageable number of cases. And so there's a question of if we still have too many infections for contact tracing to really work. The second thing is more of a political and cultural thing. There's a fear that the response has become so politicized that some people just won't cooperate with efforts to quarantine people, to ask people where they've been, if they are infected. So there's a fear about that.
Yeah. Take us through how contact tracing actually works.
Right. So contact tracing is not a new thing. It's been around for years and years, and it's done, you know, for diseases like HIV and tuberculosis. And so how it works is a contact tracer will call someone who's has the virus, and they're often the ones who inform them they have the virus. And then in addition to providing information about the virus, they're also going to ask about where that person's been in the past couple of days, whom they've had contact with, and try to reach out to those people as well. And with COVID-19, a contact is defined as someone who's been within 6 feet of that person for 15 minutes at least. Then what happens is the contact tracer reaches out to people, those contacts as they're called, and lets them know they might have been exposed to the virus and asks them to quarantine themselves for up to 14 days. And then that can sort of depend on if and when they can get tested as well. So it is a potentially a big ask for people.
Yeah. I want to go back to that cultural element that you talked about. Earlier this week, Congress outlined a plan to regulate digital contact tracing apps that we've been hearing so much about to protect people's privacy. What do we know about that bill?
You know, you mentioned South Korea earlier, and South Korea has been immensely successful with contact tracing, but, you know, they've in some cases relied on credit card data and cell phone data to look at which people were at which nightclubs. And I just don't think that's just probably won't fly in the United States, where privacy is just a much bigger concern. And there's a question about should apps, for example, track people and where they've been, so to help keep tabs on tracing. You know, there's proposals so that, you know, you'll get a notification on your phone if you've come into contact with someone who later tests positive. But the bill you mentioned would basically ensure that public health agencies have input over these apps that are being developed, and it's not just totally left up to the private sector because of the privacy concerns involved.
That's Drew Joseph with our partners at STAT, the health and medicine publication. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much.